got your Bibles with you this morning, we are going to have a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. And I've titled my message this morning, Wake Up. Clearly it's not worked. You know the wake up, sleep, rise from your bed, Christ will shine on you. You know that one? Just me? Okay. But wake up. Now, we are a week on from our Easter celebrations, the most pivotal moment in history as we remembered and celebrated Jesus defeating sin and death on the cross and an empty tomb. And we have enjoyed our Easter together. But from these pivotal moments in Scripture, the Holy Spirit then arrived and the church began to grow as Jesus had indicated. The church's role then, our role as we are the church, this is just bricks and mortar, as you well know, is to share then the good news, the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, to live out the gospel as well in our lives and the freedom then that it brings from sin and from death. Amen? Amen? That is what we are called to do. Paul then, who's I guess the 13th apostle, if you like, had met the risen Saviour on the road to Damascus, where he was on his way to fetch Philip back, one of the 12, back to Jerusalem in order to throw him in prison. Paul at this time was still called Saul, and he was a persecutor of the church. And the last thing he wanted was the way growing. The last thing he wanted was Philip sharing the good news. So Saul, who was a Jewish zealot, met Jesus, or Jesus met him, on the way to Damascus and explained, opened his eyes, in closing his eyes. Have a look at Scripture and you'll see what I mean. He opened up Paul's eyes for him to see that there is a way, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul then became the 13th apostle. He had received the good news. He'd accepted Christ as his Saviour and the mission that God had then set him on as he was going to share the gospel with the Gentiles, those who aren't Jewish. That's, on the most part, you and I. He became, Paul, became a church planter. He became an encourager. He became, if you like, a direction pointer. Don't go that way, go this way. Don't do it like that, do it like this. This is what God has called us to do. This is what the Word says. This is how the Old Testament tells us how we should be living. And this is what Jesus has done for us. That was Paul in his ultimate role, if you like, as a missionary. He was a servant of Christ Jesus. And one of the churches that he was involved with was the church in Ephesus. And the opening words of this letter that we see here in the book of Ephesians are just so rich, but they point to something that we as a church need to be aware of. They point to a myriad of things, in fact, that we need to be aware of if we're to live in the moments that we celebrated last week. Church, we are an Easter Sunday church, aren't we? He is risen. But we live in a Good Friday world. It is dark and the world has fallen. And our job, our duty as followers of Christ is to bring that Sunday morning joy, to bring that light. The grave could not hold the author of life. And that is who we're called to be. So the opening words of this letter, as we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, God willing, are going to point us to some wonderful things that we'll be able to take into the week ahead. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. What a beautiful line. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fullness, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again just want to thank you for your word this morning. Father, as we've read it together, we pray that you might bless it to us. And Father, too, as we look at these words, that we might be encouraged this morning, that Father, that we might allow an entire space in our hearts. Father, we might open up every single room for the Holy Spirit to fill. Father, that we would be ready to serve you wholeheartedly. Father, we would hold nothing back from you, knowing that everything, every good and perfect gift is from above. So Lord, we pray that you'll bless us now as we look together, and we ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You see, these opening lines then that we read in Ephesians are essentially a bucket of cold water. My alarm this morning on my phone went off in the toilet. I know that sounds weird. I'll tell you what makes it even more odd is I put my phone on charge next to my bed, because that's where my charger is. I've got one of those wireless thingies, so if it's to an inch to the left or to the right, it doesn't charge. So I'm quite specific. It has to be on my charger. But of course, you notice in a bathroom, there's no carpet, is there? No, there is not. Not usually, anyway. And there are just walls and glass. And what happens to sound when there is nothing to soak it up? We live in the countryside. We woke everybody up. I have never heard such a loud noise in all my life. Anyway, I'll tell you why my phone was there. My wife had come to bed after me. She picked up my phone. She'd watched a few things because her battery had gone, and she'd left it in the loo. I find that wholly unacceptable. So I was rudely awakened, and in the moment thought, why on earth have I left my phone in the toilet? It took me a while to come round, and then I realised I woke Laura up. She was already awake, hence there'd been a loud noise. I was like, Lord, why is my phone in the toilet? She's like, I may have left it. Why? Why? So not only is my phone in the loo and the alarm has woken everybody up, but worse than that, I've got no charge. Anyway, I got over myself after about 15 minutes. I made her a coffee to apologise. Like it was my fault. It was. Anyway. But that alarm felt like a cold bucket of water. And this passage, this opening, these opening few lines in Ephesians, Paul really opens up our eyes to things that perhaps we take for granted. Dare I say that as the New Testament church? Dare I say that we take things for granted? Paul is almost asking us this morning, are we awake? He lists various things. Awake to the blessings that we have in and through Christ. Awake to what Christ has done for us. Awake to God's love for each and every one of us. Awake to our position that we have in Christ and because of Christ. Awake to the grace that we've received. Awake to the mercy that we've been shown. It's like, here's a cold bucket of water. Wake up and listen, read, see, experience what Christ has done, what God has done through love. And we've seen, as I've already said, only last week as we've celebrated, we've seen and we've understood what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think the question for us today, just a week on, is, are we living in it? It's one thing to know what he's done for us, but are we living in that grace? Are we living in that mercy? Are we living in that abundant love that he's got for us, that unconditional love? Are we living in it? Not just, yeah, it's really good, but with joy in our hearts, because we are rooted in something that is unshakable, amen? We worship a God who has won, amen? We are on the winning side. And we should have this joy, this realization in our lives. Paul prompts the church at Ephesus in verse 3 that praise should be on our lips. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He prompts us that praise should be on our lips. Church, this isn't a momentary euphoria that just this morning it's absolutely brilliant. But it's a continual joy that can't be shaken. That even in on the mountaintops where the euphoria seems great, but even in the valley, that we have this joy on our lips because of our position, because of knowing who we are and whose we are. That our hearts are set default to praise to God because of what he's done for me. Amen? That's what our heart's position should be. My destination, church, is glory. And nothing and no one can ever change that. Why? Because of Christ. Because Christ is enough. And as we've already sung this morning, he is still enough. He is enough. Because of what he has done for us on the cross. Because of God's perfect love for each one of us. Praise then, because as the word goes on and drips with wonder, praise as I've been adopted as a son. You too are the same if you've accepted Christ as Saviour. We, the church, are sons and daughters of a holy God. How precious is that? How joyful is that? How incredible is that? Verse 5 says to us, as we carry on, he predestined us for sonship, adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Church, if you're an underliner or a highlighter, then that's the one. Because it says there that we have been adopted to sonship through Jesus Christ, listen, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Now, I look at me in the mirror often and I think, no. God looks at you and I and he says, you're worth my best. In accordance with his good pleasure and his will, he said, you are worth Jesus. How incredible is that? And we know our own hearts, don't we? And I think, Lord, you know my heart. And it lets me down often. And God says, I love you enough to give you Jesus. I love you enough to make a way for you where there was no way. And I love you enough that I want a relationship with you. Isn't that staggering? And the most incredible thing about that is it doesn't depend on you and me. Thank God it doesn't. Because I'd make a mess of it. But it depends on what Christ has done for us, amen? It couldn't possibly depend on me because I'd fail. And I hate to tell you, so would you. It can't possibly depend on us. It depends on what Christ has done for us, that we were given then what we don't deserve, not begrudgingly or even by accident. Like Jesus went, now they can, There was no accident. It was purpose because of his will that we would be able to come into a relationship with God because of the cross. Being given then, as I say, as we do not deserve. And that is grace in its full flow. Romans 5 verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, he gave his very best for us. Church, let's use the language. While we hated him, he gave his very best for us. And that's the reality. The whole world has said, I want to go this way. I don't want anything to do with you. But because of Christ, because he reached down to each and every single one of us, we have an opportunity to come back into a relationship with him. God gave his very best for each and every single one of us. That, church, is love. That is grace. Verse 7 goes on to explain, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Listen, verse 8, that he lavished on us. Oh, what manner of love is this? That he would lavish his love on people like you and me. It's staggering. Honestly, as you look into the scripture, as you look at the New Testament and the work of the cross, it doesn't make sense. The more I've looked, the less sense it makes. The older I get, the more I know me, the more it really doesn't make sense. Anybody else like that? There's those that are really old. No, nobody's really old. Those that are really wise, see what I did there? Those that are really wise have got to a point where they realise that they do not deserve what God has done for them. And the older and the wiser we get, the more we realise, the more we look into the Word, the more we realise that he has lavished his love and his grace on us for people who do not deserve it. It truly is radical grace. Grace so magnificent that if we're not careful, we miss the mercy as well. What we do deserve. Being given what we don't deserve, but not being given what we do deserve. The mercy we deserve. And I've had a look at this. I've given it a dig, right? And I'll tell you what I deserve. Nothing. And the more I look, the less I deserve. And I didn't deserve anything anyway. We deserve nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have chosen death. We went in the opposite direction. We deserve nothing. The more you look, the less you deserve. But God intervened and we have been given what we do not deserve. And that is in and through Christ. Amen? Church, we have to be awake to these truths. Awake to the truth that we see here before us. And if we want to continue to be effective for the gospel, we have to be awake to what the Word says. To cut through the enemy's lies over this world. The hatred and the bitterness. To be awake to show love and kindness. To be light in a dark world. We have to be awake. And Paul reminds his readers of our privilege as his church in these verses. That we're his, and as a result of what he has done, we have received the Holy Spirit. A deposit, a guarantee of our inheritance. That one day we will see our Saviour face to face. And there is nothing that can change that because of what God has done for me. As I've accepted Christ as Saviour, I've received the Holy Spirit. The word continues in verse 12. In order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We have received the Holy Spirit. But the challenge for us then, church, as we looked at a few Wednesdays ago, is that we don't confine the Holy Spirit to the little box room at the front of the house. You can have the entrance porch, but you can't come in because it's a right mess. And if you envisage the Holy Spirit coming into your home, that you're saying, you can just have this room, but I daren't give you any more because of the mess that's happening over there, as though God can't deal with the mess. Or I don't want to give you that because that's my space. And that's where I, do my thing. Lord, why would I let you take full control of my life? Because what do you know? Church, the challenge for us is to make sure that we allow the Holy Spirit full access. Don't confine him to the box room, but let him in every single room. Make yourself a home. Because when we do that, we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We allow the Holy Spirit to be effective in our lives. And as the church then, together, we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does best. To bring people under the sound of the gospel, to share the good news, to show people that we have a Saviour, his name is Jesus. Listen, you only have to see how the Holy Spirit worked through Peter as the Holy Spirit came, and we'll see this on Wednesday night, that a guy who was not educated, a fisherman, stood up in front of thousands of people and shared the gospel. He gave hard truth, but he did it in love, and he showed what Christ has done for each and every one of us. And the word says that 3,000 were added to that number. 3,000 came under the sound of the gospel and accepted Christ as Saviour. An uneducated fisherman, a nobody from nowhere. Can God use you? Oh, you bet he can. But church, we have to allow him. We have to allow him to work through our lives. We have to open up all the doors and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we are able then, as God works through us, to share and to love and to lead people to the truth. Church, we are in difficult and dark times. We're none of us naive. And the reality is, it isn't going to get any easier. Because the world has made its choice. What we have to do is make sure we stand on the word. Is make sure that we're awake to the joy and the privilege that we have as his children. Make sure that we are ready to share the good news. Ready to love people. Ready to make sure that we are light in the darkest of places. That we're awake to all that Christ has done for us, all that God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Awake to his love and awake to his blessing. Church, that is our challenge this morning. To make sure that we are awake, that we're ready to do what he's called us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would just help it to settle on our hearts. That, Father, we would read this passage again later on. Father, that we would make sure that we're awake to what you've got for us. Father, for all that you've done for us. That, Father, we would be a church that lives in that Easter Sunday morning. That the tomb is empty. That my Saviour lives. And in and through him, I have victory. And I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us in that. Father, that you would allow each and every one of us to make sure that the doors are open in our house. Father, that the Holy Spirit would fill every single room. That he would down home in our hearts. That, Father, we would allow access so that you can work through us fully. Lord, we ask all of these prayers in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.